a little bit thrown off this morning. Peter said, be seated, and I was. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The title of these two messages are How to Fix Your Spouse. And last week we discussed, wives, if you have a husband who's disobedient to the Word, how do you fix him? Well, the thing is, you can't fix him. You need to fix yourself so that your husband has no excuses before God to obey the Word of God. So we are in the same place this morning, except opposite. This passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, and only one verse, verse 7, says, likewise, that means in a very similar manner, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The assumption is, you know, there just may be some ladies out there who are disobedient to the Word. Well, how are we going to fix them? You can't. You need to fix yourself so that the ladies will see Christ in you and make some changes. But that requires of each of us to be changed, to be willing to be different. There was a fellow who went for some marriage counseling, and the counselor instructed the guy, he said, look, you need to change the way you treat your wife. You need to be the kind of man she longs to have in the home. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, the counselor said this. When you come home from work today, don't look like you've been beaten down. Come home, dress for maybe work in a nice suit and put some cologne on. And on the way home, stop and get some fresh flowers. Doesn't have to be this enormous bouquet, just some fresh flowers. And maybe some chocolates. Do that. So he goes home, and he knocks on the door, and his wife opens the door. Says, hi, honey, these are for you. I love you and cherish you with all my heart. And she starts to cry. Now, not the crying that you'd expect, like, I'm so moved, but I can't believe it. Little Johnny's sick, and he's throwing up all over the floor. The refrigerator doesn't work. The washer, it just water all over the floor, and now you come home drunk. Marriage ends up being the brunt of a lot of jokes. The counselor was right. We do need to change the way we behave. Not with flowers, although I can't imagine a lady saying that she'd refuse them. And not just with chocolates, because those are gifts. What we really need to change is the inside of us, guys. The inside of us. That's what your wife really, really wants. Now, Peter's advice to ladies would, look, don't nag him. And that's what the likewise is there for. Don't nag her. She needs to do this, and she needs to do that. Change yourself. Make yourself the kind of person that she's just overjoyed to respect. Now, remember, in this passage, we are talking about the background of Peter, and male headship in the marriage, well, it was an assumed conclusion, but it was in overdrive. In fact, ladies were not very highly thought of, even as people. And Peter is trying to address a misconception in the culture that ladies aren't worth much. And that's one thing the gospel did. It radically changed the culture in which they live. Ladies are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You better treat them as such. They are precious, not some household appliance. You see, fellas, we need to make the adjustment just like they did, that male leadership in the home is not some authoritative dictator, chest-pounding gorilla demanding what you want. We're looking for leaders, men who will lead the way in godliness for the husbands, the wives, and the children. And there are three things in this passage, three words. Now, you're going to need your outline, and you're also going to need the third epistle to Peter. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, there's only two. No, there's a third. Peter wrote it last night. But he's going to explain that when I call him up a little bit later. So we'll get the third Peter in a little while. But there's three thoughts here. Understand, honor, or else. And you can pick those three things up right in that passage. Understand, honor, or else. And God's very clear. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Let's think about understanding. Son said, you know, Dad, My Sunday school teacher says that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her. And the dad said, why single out Africa? The Joneses said there are two periods in a man's life when he doesn't understand a woman. And Mr. Smith says, yes, I know. Before marriage and after marriage. It's tough. And why is that, that we have such a difficult time understanding the opposite sex? I think women have a pretty good bead on men. But it's hard for us. It's because we think differently. She thinks pink. We think blue. She hears pink in ways that it's difficult for a person to imagine. And we think blue. We speak and act and it's not wrong, it's just different. I was speaking to someone the other day. You know, I'm making sweeping generalizations. Most men are kind of like point A, point B, let's get there. Not women, at least not one I hold most dear to my own heart. It's the journey, it's not the destination, bud. Okay, which means that we might be able to go on top of Skyline Drive in Virginia, going through the Shenandoah Valley, which is this tedious, beautiful, winding road that you can only go 30 miles an hour, and every other time it bends, there's a scenic overlook at which we must stop and take pictures. I just want to get to the other end of the road. You see, it's not wrong, it's not right, it's just different. And the sooner we realize that as men, the sooner our lives are going to be so much happier, because we are going to be the kind of men that our wives will just, oh, I'm so glad you're home today. Not because you need to clean up the mess that the washer made, but because I love you so much, and I just want to spend time with you. So we need to understand our wives. Now, Dr. J. Allen Blair said, probably few of us are masters at the art of understanding others, especially those of the opposite sex. And he's right. He's right. You know, when a wife says, I have nothing to wear, what does it mean? She has nothing new. When a man says, I have nothing to wear, what does that mean? I have nothing clean. He didn't care about new. I don't. But you see, we just think differently, and we need to understand how to help one another. I think Dr. Emerson Eggerichs does a wonderful job of that with his seminar on love and respect. The most needed thing in a man's life is respect. That's why Paul addresses it. Wives, submit or respect your husbands. And the most desired thing a wife needs is to know that she is loved and treated such and cherished. And so men are told to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Even though we're speaking the same language, sometimes we don't understand what's being said. So let me unpack understand just very quickly. Men, first understand your God-given role as the leader in the home. Dr. Blair said, woman who is not created from a bone from man's head to dominate him, nor from his foot to trample on him, but his side to be a companion as a helpmeet for him. He, on the other hand, as her leader and defender, should protect and watch over her, loving and cherishing her in the same manner in which Christ is the head over the church and cares for each of his blood-bought children. You see, men, it's our responsibility to be the thermostat in the home, not the thermometer. And you know the difference between those two things? A thermometer tells you what temperature it is. The thermostat changes it. I did that this morning. We got up and it was cold in the house. Praise God. But I know that my wife doesn't like the cold so much, so I reach to the thermostat and kick things up a bit for her. But you see, we need to set, men, the temperature in the home, too. We need to be the men who lead. We need to sacrificially love her. That's stated in all of the passages of Scripture and many more. We need to understand that the 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 is not this gushy Valentine card from God. It's oil in the hot engine of conflict that we need to lead the way. We need to be the men who are patient when it's just about ready to run out. We need to be the men in the home who are kind when the last thing you want to do is a random act of kindness. We need to lead. We need to lead and encourage her in her walk with Christ. In Sunday school and worship and daily devotions and prayer. Men, when was the last time you asked your wife if she had her devotions today? It's your responsibility. You're the head of the home. Maybe the better question is, men, when did you last lead your wife in devotions together? We need to understand our role. We need to protect our family from your parents and hers. Where'd you get that from, Pastor? Right in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. If your in-laws or your own parents are interfering with the marriage, husbands lovingly try to ask or tell them that that's not proper behavior for a believer. And you need to protect her. We need to lead the way. Stu Weber, in his book Spirit Warrior, recites the Ranger's Creed. Stu Weber is a pastor in Washington, I believe, of the Shepherd's Church. And he was a Green Beret during the Vietnam era. A ranger, an Army ranger. And the Ranger's Creed goes something, I won't read the whole thing. It says, I volunteered as a ranger, fully knowing the hazards of my chosen profession. I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, the honor, and the high spirit, esprit de corps of the rangers. Acknowledging the fact that a ranger is a more elite soldier who arrives at the cutting edge of battle by land, sea, and air, I accept the fact that as a ranger, my country expects me to move further, faster, and fight harder than any other soldier. And I was musing in my study as we were preparing for this, what if men took their leadership in the home in the same way? What if husbands had a creed? Would it sound something like this? Recognizing that I volunteered as a husband, fully knowing the responsibilities of my chosen life, I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, the honor, the high esprit de corps of my family. Acknowledging the fact that a husband is God's leader in the home, I accept the fact that as a husband, my family expects more from me than any other member of the family. Never shall I fail my family. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically and spiritually strong, morally straight, and I will shoulder more than my share of the tasks, whatever it may be, 100% and then some. Gallantly, I will show my family and the world that I am God's man in the home. And my walk with Jesus, my leadership, my courtesy, my compassion and strength shall set the example for my family to follow. Energetically, I will provide and defend my family. Surrender is not a husband word. I will never leave a fallen family member in the hands of the enemy, and under no circumstances will I ever embarrass my family. Readily will I display the intestinal fortitude to fight for God's objectives in my family, and with the help of God's Spirit and God's Word, I will complete my mission as a husband. Husbands, lead the way. Guys, I don't know what that does for you, but that pumps me up. Knowing that God is expecting me to lead, and that's understanding my role, but what about understanding her? You need to understand her God-given role in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, 18, and it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. She's not your household slave. She's your helper. She's the one who partners with you in life to do God's will in this world. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with the flesh. And the rib that the God had taken from that man, he made into woman and brought her to the man and said, this at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father, his mother, hold fast to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. She needs to understand, you need to understand, and she does, her role of submission in the home. You're the leader under God. Be the best leader so she can be the best follower she can be. There is a priority in the home. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul tells the older women, listen, you need to mentor the younger ladies. And they need to understand that the home is part of a priority God has placed them in their lives. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and train young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Now, that doesn't mean that a lady can't have a career, she can't have a job, but it does mean that the home needs to take precedence over all those things as God has laid that out plainly in His Word. And then you need to understand her personality, understand her physicality, her intellectuality, her emotional needs, her spiritual needs. Someone asked Mrs. Albert Einstein, "Do you understand your husband's theory of relativity?" "No, I don't understand Dr. Einstein's theory of relativity, but I understand Dr. Einstein." And then we need to be men who understand our wives. Now, in your bulletin, there was 3 Peter. Go ahead and take that out, and Peter's going to come explain. I heard Peter teach in a Sunday school class one time, and he had said that we need to become men, lifelong students of our wives. And I think that's really what this passage is communicating to us. So Peter, would you come and explain how that happens?
Well, to give you a little history, I was a young man. I was young at one time. And a good friend of mine who was an elder at the church we were attending, he was a mentor to me, and he encouraged me, and he said, "As a young married man, you need to become a student of your wife." So I kind of looked at him and I said, "Okay." So I was raised in a family of all boys. All my cousins were boys except for the 2 oldest cousins. They were girls, and they were like 15 years older than us, and we were just yucky, smelly kids. Just get away from us. So we had no girl contact per se, no sisters or anything. So when he said to me, "You know, you need to be a student of your wife," I'm thinking, okay, this is a foreign concept to me. But I took it as a challenge. So earlier in my marriage, I had to rethink some things and consider some things and what was really involved in the marriage once the honeymoon was over. Okay, so Doug had challenged me, and I first had to start piecing some things together in my mind about marriage. And so the first place I went was to the scriptures, and I said, okay, this is what the scriptures say about marriage. And then I'm a people watcher by nature, so I was watching to see what I considered good, stable Christian marriages were like. And I started to take some notes down from what I saw and I observed from them. And then after I did that, I realized, all right, I have to put a game plan together. I've got to figure this thing out. I'm a young married man, and if I want to stay happily married, I better get this right. So I put a plan together. First thing I learned, men, was there's nothing more evident than our inability to understand our wives. Because as a young man, I'm trying to figure my wife out, and I'm scratching my head. But you know what? We don't understand how they think. Sometimes we don't understand why they think that way, and it's kind of foreign to us. But trying to understand women in general is not what men or husbands should be trying to do. Instead, what the husband needs to do is to understand his wife. He doesn't need to understand women in general. He needs to understand his wife. One woman, that's the one you got to work on. So they're 2 very, very different things. One's theoretical, and the other is what your particular wife, what makes her tick, and how can I best love her and serve her as a husband. So I don't think your wife wants to really be figured out in worldly terms or described in worldly terms of who she is or what she is, but your wife does want to know how to be known. So she wants a husband who's going to go to great effort and learn about her, okay, and her intricacies. And your wife needs a husband who's going to love her the way she wants to be loved. And she's a complex individual, and the Bible tells us that we're to love her as Christ loved the church. And so what does part of that mean for the Christian husband towards the wife? Well, As a husband, that means I'm going to do all the work necessary to love her in a Christ-like fashion, not partially, wholeheartedly. And the scriptures Carl read this morning, the one verse, was it tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. So the Christian husband should be aware of his wife's needs, her strengths, her weaknesses, her desires, her goals. And so I compiled a list of things that as a husband you should be asking yourself in regards to your wife. And if you can't answer these questions with 100% certainty, you need to find the answers and put an action plan together. So Doug challenged me how to be a student of my wife. So I thought about it in three basic terms, just general type questions, practical day-to-day type information, and then the spiritual aspect of it. And so I just threw, this is the Reader's Digest version I put together for myself. This is the short version. And I started asking myself questions about my wife and thinking, you know, what are her likes and dislikes? Well, hopefully at least you learned some of that when you were dating, right? How do you encourage your wife? Do you encourage your wife? What truly makes your wife happy? Do you know her dreams and her aspirations? Because they probably will change as they get older. What tone, this came to my next one. What tone does your wife take when speaking to you? Just go to Giant grocery shopping on a Saturday or a Sunday and hear husbands and wives talk to each other. That is one of the scariest things you'll ever hear. You're like, I could open up a counseling booth at every checkout counter because the way they speak to each other is horrendous. And you have to put yourself in check and say, what tone does my wife use when she's speaking to me? Am I frustrating her or not? So just think about those things. And quickly, what are my wife's 10 top attributes? I said that to somebody and they said, 10? I've got to name 10? I said, 10's not a lot. I said, I could name off 10 in like a minute. He goes, well, I got to think about that. And I said, well, you got to work on it. So think about that, men. If you can't name 10 top attributes of your wife, you got to think about it and work on it, okay? Now let's get a little more to the practical part of life. How can I be a practical help to my wife in the home? That's, you know, growing up in an Italian patriarchal family, the women did everything. Sometimes that's just not practical in today's terms. I mean, my wife works as many hours as I work. She puts a 70-hour week in too. And I can't just sit there like the king and go, you know, we have to help each other out if you want a happy marriage. You didn't, as Carl mentioned earlier, you didn't marry a slave. So think about things practically. What's your wife struggling with? Is it something physically? Is it something emotionally? Is it something spiritual? And is there something you should be doing to help that? Okay, so be aware of those things. Do you pay attention to the little things she does in the home? And do you praise her and thank her for those things? Now, sometimes we can get very used to something. For instance, all right, I leave the house all crazy hours of the morning, but I know when I get up in the morning, I push the button on the coffee machine, I'm getting coffee. Now, my wife does not have to make coffee for me and get it ready the night before. My fingers are not broken. Look at them, all 10 work. But she does it out of love for me, and she does it. And to me, that's very important. Does your spouse do something for you that you should be thanking her for that you never did? You just took it for granted and go, of course I expect my coffee to be there ready. Okay? That's not the case. So think about those things and see all the things your wife does in the house and thank her for it because it's a labor of love. There's a book out called The Five Love Languages. Any man read that? I'm just going to, okay, one, two, a couple of guys have read it. All right, for you men who have not read The Five Love Languages, I'm telling you now, read that book. Okay, so coming from the patriarchal type family and, you know, being very, you know, my wife's reading this book, and she says, you know, there's five love languages and blah, blah, and she's going through the whole thing, and I'm going, do I have to really listen to this book? Well, one of the best things I did was listen to my wife and then listen to the book as we read it. She read it, we read it together. You want to change your marriage? Read that book. I'll just tell you that right now. When you find out what makes your wife tick, and you can encourage her in those areas, your marriage will change dramatically and quickly. And let me put another plug in for this book. You can then, if you have children, you can then look at your children and say, oh, that's what motivates my children. That's where my child is missing something that I'm not doing. And believe me, that will help your family life. It's not a big book. You know, it's one of those little books like that. You can read it in a couple of nights. That is an excellent book. Learn your wife's love language, and I put some of them down there. There's gifts, service, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation. Read that book. Learn about your wife and how she ticks and how it does and can affect and improve your family relationships. So the next thing I had ticked off there, are you truly a servant of your wife in all marriage aspects? You know, Paul says, I'm a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying, men, you be slaves. You're not a slave to your wife, but a servant, what is the goal of a good servant? A scriptural servant is to help in all aspects, wherever there's help that's needed, and to encourage and to make sure that other person they're trying to help is successful in whatever they're doing. Like when Joseph was a slave or a servant, every time he went into another prison or another aspect, he always tried to help that person he was accountable to, and he kept rising and rising and making them wealthier or better or whatever they had to be. It's that same kind of concept. Work with your wife together to try to improve things and make things better. Do you know the proper words of affirmation that build up your wife? Do you ever say words of affirmation to your wife to encourage her? Who doesn't like encouragement? We like encouragement if we're at work and, oh, hey, Peter, you did a great job on that. Yeah, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. But, you know, your wife works very hard in different aspects. And men, do we take the time to give words of affirmation? And let's look at the spiritual topics. Who is leading your home? It sounds like a loaded question, doesn't it? There's three people, basically, who lead your home. It's either the husband, the wife, or the kids. So I leave it up to you. Who is leading the home? And you better come up as number one. If you're not, you need to change that. That'll change the dynamics of your home for the better. Where is your wife finding emotional and spiritual comfort? That's also key. Do you know those things? Can you answer that question? Does her life show the fruits of the Spirit? Do you see the fruits of the Spirit manifested in her everyday life? And are you encouraging those things and encouraging her to do those things? Are you handling your end of the marriage, men, or are you just throwing everything on your wife to handle? Okay? We're in charge, men. God puts it to us straight. You're in charge of your marriage. You're in charge of doing things right. We need to step up to the plate. And last, are you supporting your wife in a biblical manner with prayer and Bible study? Are you having those Bible studies with your wife? Are you encouraging her to read her Bible and discussing these other things? So, men, take this sheet home. Go sit in a quiet room and think about these things and write some answers down. Where do you stand on this, and where do you need to improve? When I did the list and I sat back, I said, wow, I've got some things I need to improve on. And I did, and I worked on them. And I'll tell you what, this sounds very selfish, but I'm glad I worked on them because the marriage improved greatly. And I got to understand my wife better, and our marriage was better because of that. And the marriage grew and grew and grew. And just a plug for the marriage seminar, we've been married 33 years and we're going to the marriage seminar because we know you always need a refresher. So we have it here, October 20th and 21st. There's still some room available. I don't care how long you've been married. We had a guy, the director who's actually running the program for us here, said we had a couple come in, they were married 70-something years, and the last 35 years they went to the seminar every year. And the guy said to him, why did you come 35 years? He goes, how do you expect us to get to 70? He said, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. You still have to work. Even though I'm married 33 years, I still have to work at my marriage. It's not something that just comes natural. So men, you've been given a challenge to study your wife, to be a student of your wife. So the author, his name is Chap Bettis, he recently said, the challenge with anything today is that truly important material is diluted by the trivial. Truly important material is diluted by the trivial. So men, you've been given important information. You have that sheet, right? Don't let the trivial things of everyday life push this aside. You've been charged with a task. So be a student of your wife, and live with her as God intended.
Thank you, Peter. So you have in your notes this morning, 3 Peter. It's not the inspired word of God, but it does come from good experience. And those things are worthy to take note of. Very, very quickly, let's look at the last two concepts. First, men, we need to honor our wives. It really means to recognize her worth, to reverence, to respect, to esteem highly that lady that you have chosen to spend the rest of your lives with. We need to be doing that. And if we do, she is going to come to you and say, who are you and what have you done with my husband? You're the guy I wanted to marry when we were dating, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Understand that she is a weaker vessel, and that is not a hit against women. What that is in general sweeping generalities, most ladies are weaker than most men. So guys, please, the to-do list you have for your wife, you know, mow the lawn, trim the hedges, dress the kids, get them off for school, and then after breakfast, there's another list. Really? Really? We need to be aware of their abilities and even their inabilities and work together. They are joint heirs with us in Jesus Christ. They are sisters who will enjoy all of the rights, privileges, and prerogatives of the child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the last point in your outline, I'm going to demonstrate it this way. Guys, if you're not treating your wives in an understanding way and honoring her as an heir to the grace of life, guess what? The next time you pray, this is what God's going to do. Can't hear you. It's right there in the Bible. That last verse says that unless you treat your wives in an understanding way and honor her as a fellow, can't even hear my own self speak, that you will that your prayers are going to be hindered. And you know what? That word is so emphatic. Let me demonstrate it another way. Hinder in an extreme way. That's the word translate. That means, first of all, you take these foam earplugs, stick them in your ear, and then God puts these on. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say because you're not treating your wife right. So the next time there's a difficulty at work and you utter a flare prayer to the Lord, do you really want him to put on the earphones? Next time there's an emergency or some horrible thing happens and you're crying out to God for help, do you really want God to be wearing these? You see, that's the or else, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's pretty serious stuff. So here's a challenge. It's on your handout. Husbands, ask your wives if they feel that they are being treated with understanding and honor, both in public and private. Okay? Now, men, this is not an attack when she answers you honestly. It's not an attack. Think of it as like you're taking your car for an oil change or a tune-up. Okay? That's the spirit in which these questions are designed. And wives, if the answer you must give is no, don't get out your long list of grievances. We can't handle it. Then we will understand it as an attack. Pick one thing. One thing. And then maybe give an example of what it looks like so we completely and thoroughly understand it. And then give us a picture of what it would look like if it would help. Help you to feel understood and appreciated and honored. And then when we do make some changes, please don't be like the wife who opened the door. All this and you came home drunk. Thank him for the changes that he's making. Maybe it'll be baby steps. But accept those baby steps as progress and respect him for it. And you know what? Just like Emerson Egrick says, when he does something loving to her, she is energized and responds by doing something respectful to him. And then he will then be energized by doing something else that's loving to her. And you're on the energizing cycle and not the crazy cycle. That's how God lays things out in Scripture. And remember this, men, husbands lead the way.